أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولئن سألتهم من خلق السماوات والأرض ليقولن الله قل الحمد لله بل أكثرهم لا يعلمون لله ما في السماوات والأرض إن الله هو الغني الحميد ولو أن ما في الأرض من شجرة أقلام والبحر يمده من بعده سبعة أبحر ما نفدت كلمات الله إن الله عزيز حكيم ما خلقكم ولا بعثكم إلا كنفس واحدة إن الله سميع بصير ألم تر أن الله يولج الليل في النهار ويولج النهار في الليل وسخر الشمس والقمر كل يجري إلى أجل مسمى وأن الله بما تعملون خبير ذلك بأن الله هو الحق وأن ما يدعون من دونه الباطل وأن الله هو العلي الكبير صدق الله العظيم
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على خير خلقه سيدنا وحبيب محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ثم جعلناك على شريعة من الأمر فاتبعها ولا تتبع أهواء الذين لا يعلمون إنهم لن يغنوا عنك من الله شيئا وإن الظالمين بعضهم أولياء بعض والله ولي المتقين وقال عز وجل وما الحياة الدنيا في الآخرة إلا متاع وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ما الدنيا في الآخرة إلا مثل ما يضع أحدكم إصبعه في اليم فلينظر بما يرجع أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم وبعد محترم ومعزز حضرت مفتي صاحب most respected senior علماء اكرام beloved friends جماعة المسلمين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته سب سے پہلے ہم تہہ دل سے حضرت مفتی صاحب کے اور دوسرے سب طلبہ کے شکر گزار ہیں کہ اپنے قیمتی وقت نکال کر کے ہمارے علاقے کو مستفید ہونے کا موقع عطا فرمایا اللہ تعالیٰ ایک ایک لمحہ کے لیے جزائے خیر دے دے سب کی طرف سے فرسٹلی وی ٹیک دا اپرچونٹی آن بہاف آف دا جی ایم اے اور مسجد اور انٹائر کمیونٹی آف ایکسپریسنگ اور ڈیپسٹ گریٹیٹیوڈ ٹو حضرت مفتی صاحب And all of the students who very soon will be qualifying as ulama, alhamdulillah, we have the students who have come out in Jamaat from approximately 20 differing countries. Very soon, inshallah, they will qualify, ultimately go back to their places and be in the service and the khidmah of deen. May Allah ta'ala reward one and all abundantly, inshallah ta'ala. The objective of participating in such majalis, sitting in the company of the salihin, of Allah ta'ala's beloved and pious servants, are very, very precious opportunities that comes now and again in the life of a person. Many a times you will hear a person saying that I had sat in the company of so and so great pious person, and that was a life-changing experience. In our own country, the very early 1980s, Shaykhul Hadith Hazrat Mawlana Zakaria rahimahullah ta'ala had blessed our country with his visit and sitting in i'tikaf in Stanga. And how many people we have personally come across to say that one i'tikaf in the company of Shaykh was a life-changing experience, not just for that person. Deen came alive in the families and in the progenies. Ulama, Huffaz have come out of those families. Similarly, this great effort of Dawah, just last night when going with Hazrat Mufti Sahab on some mulaqats, on meeting some of our local residents, amazing point that Hazrat emphasized upon. We were respected Iqbal Sahab, Mufti Sahab mentioned that how many a student who has eventually come out to study deen, have become huffaz, have become ulama, from such families where in the grandfathers, forefathers, no trace of hifz or being an alim exists, but through the effort of this great work of da'wat and tabligh, maybe the father or grandfather had changed their lives, went out in the path of Allah Ta'ala, and because of those sacrifices, and we see, mashallah, many of the students who have come from different parts of the world, the primary cause of it had been someone or the other, father, grandfather, spending time in the path of Allah Ta'ala, having this great desire that the greatest honor that I can have in my family is to have a hafiz, have an alim, and Allah Ta'ala has blessed them in this way abundantly. So the objective of participating in such gatherings, we find recourse an example of it in the Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in, the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whom Allah Ta'ala has termed as the barometer of perfect iman. وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ آمِنُوا كَمَا آمَنَ النَّاسِ قَالُوا أَنُؤْمِنُوا كَمَا آمَنَ السُّفَهَا فَإِنْ آمَنُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا آمَنْتُمْ بِهِ فَقَدْ اِهْتَدَوْا. Allah Ta'ala says to general humanity that if you bring iman, and the barometer of your iman is like those who have done so around Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in, then indeed you are guaranteed to be on hidayat and guidance. So Allah Azza wa Jal in the Quran Azim at many, many places, our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in many ahadith, ashabi kan nujum, bi ayyihim iqtadaytum ihtadaytum, aw kama qala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that my sahaba are like guiding stars. If you tread in their ways and mannerisms, you are guaranteed to remain steadfast on hidayat. So Allah Ta'ala, our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, have decreed the companions around Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the first line of defense, as the greatest fortress of the barometer of Iman and Islam, and therefore imperative that we venerate, respect and love from the bottom of our hearts every Sahabi of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Riwayat of Tirmidhi Sharif, إِذَا رَأَيْتُمُ الَّذِينَ يَسُبُّونَ أَصْحَابِي فَقُولُوا لَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَى شَرِّكُمْ. When you see a group of people condemning, criticizing, reviling, or finding fault with my companions, then say to such people, may Allah's curses be on your evil actions and your evil deeds. So Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in, the barometer of perfect iman, they are the ones whom Allah Ta'ala has chosen to be around Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the first recipients of this deen, most trustworthily conveyed it onto the ummah. Uniqueness and speciality of the Qur'an Azim, the teachings of Islam, that it remains divinely protected by Allah Ta'ala up to the day of Qiyamah. And therefore, mashallah, there is the tradition of hifz. We have a number of ulama who will be soon qualifying in this jamaat, that this ilm, as we know, remains protected in an authentic transmission, a chain. We have learnt the ahadith, tafsir, fiqh from our asatidah, they in turn from their ustads. And you know, when you qualify, you are given a sanad, a chain that links one in a direct transmission, the name of every person as the narrator of deen to us, from us going back 1400 years right till Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is Allah's means. As Shaykh Abdul Fattah Abu Ghudda rahimahullah ta'ala, the great alim of Halab of Syria, whom Allah has blessed to be buried in Madinatul Munawwara, has written an entire kitab on the importance of al-isnadu min ad-din, that learning our deen in an authentic transmission is a great means of that, of our deen being protected, uniqueness and speciality of this ummah. So Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in had many outstanding attributes and qualities. They were the most generous of people. They had given immense sacrifices for the cause of deen. They were selfless people, sacrificing, يُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصَةً. Even when it meant sacrificing, not luxuries and excesses, even in the most dire and basic needs, if there was somebody else, they would always be the first to sacrifice for others, even when they were themselves in absolute desperation. So they had many outstanding attributes. They could have collectively been called many different names, but the name that distinguishes them, and what are they known as? They are known as Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in. Who is a Sahabi? Many varying definitions have been given, but one of the most accepted is that person who has spent even a few moments in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a state of iman, and thereafter departs from this dunya in a state of iman, that is a Sahabi. And it is the unanimously accepted opinion of the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah that any Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, no matter what rank he enjoys amongst Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in, the people to come in later generations after Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in, the greatest awliya collectively put together cannot equate to the rank of the lowest ranking Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because what is the quality that distinguishes a Sahabi? Sohba, companionship, being in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is such a powerful thing. Allah Ta'ala in the Quran Azim encourages this. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu ittaqullah wa kunu ma'as sadiqin. O those who have believed, fear Allah, have Allah in your awareness and conscience. And how does that come about? How do you achieve that? Be in the company of the salihin, be in the company of those who are the truthful ones, those who are sincere and truthful in the relationship with Allah Azza wa Jal. And so this tradition has always existed in the ummah for the protection of our deen, to sit in the company of the salihin. Allah Ta'ala has blessed us with this perfect deen. This deen has no deficiency, no shortcoming whatsoever. Famously, in the time of Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala, a group of Jewish rabbis come to him and make an amazing remark to him that you have a verse in your Quran. Had it been revealed upon us, upon the Yahud, we would have taken the day of its revelation as a great day of celebration for the uniqueness and the glad tidings Allah has given about the completeness and the perfection of this deen, where Allah Ta'ala says, Al-Yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati wa raditu lakum al-Islam deena. Allah Ta'ala revealed upon Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the plains of Arafat, in the farewell pilgrimage Hajjatul Wada, day of Jumu'ah, Mubarak time after Asr, the completeness and the perfection of this deen, and that Allah is only pleased with the deen of Islam. So therefore we adhere to deen in its totality, in its entirety, in its pristine and original state. Allah Ta'ala warns us about the various efforts that would be made to bring about alterations in the core and the essentials of this deen. Allah Ta'ala strongly encourages that you remain adherent to it. ثُمَّ جَعَلْنَاكَ عَلَىٰ شَرِيعَةٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْرِ. Allah Ta'ala says, we have given you the Shariat of Islam as your most perfect way. فَاتَّبِعْهَا. Remain adherent to it and do not follow the whims and fancies of those who do not know. So a concerted effort is being made by the enemies of Islam. Millions of dollars have been spent in specifically one point where they have failed to take Muslims physically out of Islam. There is a concerted effort to bring about a moderate, a liberal, or a watered-down form of Islam. And then you would hear statements being made that Islam has to be reinterpreted or Islam itself has to be reformed. Na'udhu billah. We cite two examples in two other major religions. You have Judaism, who have committed the error of completely forsaking the divinely revealed injunctions. When the Yahud were existent in Europe and were being persecuted because they stood out as different from European society, then one of the strategies adopted was to bring about such changes in the core of the divine injunctions that would make it then seem more acceptable within European society. A person by the name Moses Mendelssohn had made this concerted effort. So for example, they had completely banned, officially banned polygamy, so that Judaism does not stand out as something different from European society. And similarly, many other divinely revealed injunctions were completely forsaken, completely discarded, reinterpreted. Result is that ultimately that would not succeed, and therefore it continued. The persecutions continued even after such efforts were made. And then you have within Christianity, shortly after Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, Paul comes along and starts to propagate completely different to the teachings of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, again adopting many, many ways of pagan societies in Europe to make Christianity more acceptable. So many of the pagan traditions were adopted and given a Christian flavor. The end result is that they cannot distinguish what is from the original teachings of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. On the very aspect, only three centuries later, the Council of Nicaea is convened to discuss one of the most core essentials of deen. We know it's Tawheed, the oneness, the greatness of Allah Ta'ala. And this council is convened for what purpose? That is Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam divine or is he human being? You had those who on the original teachings that he is the Rasul of Allah Azza wa Jal. And then you had a group saying that he is God incarnate, Allah himself in human form, wal-ayadu billah, or that he is the Son of God. And ultimately the major view accepted was that which has come down in the Trinity. So you have two examples where the original deen of Allah Azza wa Jal was tainted, was contaminated to such an extent that you cannot distinguish what is the original teachings and what has been adopted from outside traditions. This deen Allah Ta'ala has given the glad tiding. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, there will always be a portion of my ummah who remains steadfast on haqq, emphasizing haqq, inviting towards it, prohibiting from evil. And no matter they become the minority and people would forsake them, but they always enjoy the divine help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They would have to make great sacrifices in holding on. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam prophesies a time will come when holding on to deen and Islam in its pure and pristine state will be like holding on to a burning coal. So alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah, Allahu azza wa jalla has made us of the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. So we love our deen, we have this yaqeen and conviction without any doubt whatsoever. The greatest ni'mah that I enjoy is that of iman, the beautiful and perfect teachings of Islam. In the case of those who would be graduating as ulama, we have this great tradition of great, great ulama who we are coming from. They have set the benchmark. When we had the honor a few years ago of having one of the greatest living muhaddithin, Sheikh Muhammad Awama Hafidhahullah Ta'ala, many a times in free moments, Sheikh Abdul Fattah would sit down, would say to those around him, that please do tell me one or two stories about your mashayikh, about the akabirin of the Oban. Tell us some of the mannerisms, their love and adherence to sunnah, and would really relish being told the waqi'at and the qisas. And we know the narrating incidents in the lives of the salihin, of the pious, is an integral part of our deen. It is jundum min jundillah, one of the means of Allah Azza wa Jal strengthening a person's iman. So alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala has made us of that. Very, very important, as mentioned in a few verses and the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam at the outset, one quality that we try and bring about for our self-reformation, for our islah, is this love of the akhirah. Love and preparation for the akhirah. We know that Allah Ta'ala has put us in this dunya, Allah has given us the various means of dunya, and the mindset adopted to the various matters of dunya that Allah Ta'ala has given to us, that they are a means. They are a means, if utilized correctly, to achieve the eternal success of the hereafter. But we do not go into the folly of falling into the temptations of dunya to such an extent that which is supposed to be a wasila and a means. We know the famous incident of dunya, Allah Ta'ala terms as mata', as that which a person utilizes merely to fulfill a greater objective. We know the famous incident of the great linguist Ismail, saying that I did not understand a few words of Quran until I went into the Bedouins, and one of those is the word mata'. He says, when I came to a certain village, and he says, a dog came and took the rag with which you clean around the table, clean around the house, and ascended a mountain. And when the mother of the child came, he says, جَاءَ الرَّقِيمُ وَأَخَذَ الْمَتَاعُ. That raqim, it says, varying tafsirs of the word raqim, that it is a slate, or the description of the type of dog that was of the Ashabul Kahf. But the point of mention, he says, he took the mata, took that rag with which cleaning around the house, what we say locally, we call it a faduk or a rag in the kitchen, and ascended the nearest mountain. So he says, understood the word mata from that incident, that it is something that one does not hanker after. The rag is there to derive benefit from, but for the greater objective. And so Allah Ta'ala has given, as Mufizab says, مَا أَحْسَنَ الدُّنْيَا وَالدِّينَ إِذَا اجْتَمَعَ, that the best is Allah Ta'ala gives a person, if Allah has blessed a person with wealth, to use that very wealth to achieve our Jannah. Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala, on the occasion of Tabuk, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is imploring, critical juncture in the history of Islam, Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala, over and above dedicating hundreds of camels laden with many provisions for this great expedition, brings a huge amount of gold coins and places it in the Mubarak lap of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The narrator says, I can still picture the scene, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sitting on the minbar and turning those gold coins between his Mubarak fingers and saying, مَا ضَرَّ عُثْمَانَ مَا عَمِلَ بَعْدَ هَذَا الْيَوْمِ, whatever Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu does after this day, no harm will ever come to him. He has secured and guaranteed himself the loftiest ranks in Jannah for channeling the wealth that Allah Ta'ala has given to him. But to understand it, that there is the means and what is the objective, and the great objective is that of the eternal success of the hereafter. The Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha once with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then she begins to weep and cry profusely. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asks her, why are you crying, O Humaira? Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says, I'm thinking of the severities, and we know there are various stages of the hereafter. So she says, I'm thinking, O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, will you think about and help those who are your beloved ones in this dunya? Will you help us on the day of Qiyamah at those critical stages? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that there are three stages in the akhirah, that until one is not guaranteed success, one will not think about any other person except oneself. One is at the time when our actions are being weighed. We know there is definite weighing of actions on the scales on the day of Qiyamah, until such time that that person knows that my good deeds has outweighed my sins and my evil. One will be completely restless and in total anxiety. Another is when the book of deeds, Hisab, is taking place and the book of deeds are being presented. Until one gets the book of deeds in the right hand with honor and dignity that denotes eternal success. On the other hand, a person receiving it from behind the back in the left hand, denoting eternal doom and gloom and sorrow, until such time one goes through that test, the greatest of all tests in the court of Allah Ta'ala, one will be completely restless and oblivious of anyone around. And third place, at the Sirat, the crossing of the bridge over the fire of Jahannam, sharper than a sword, thinner than a hair, until one crosses over and is on one's way towards Jannah, one at that time will be concerned and deeply engrossed in one's own worry and concern. So this worry and concern, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam emphasizes with many, many examples, one beautiful example, that if you want to see the similitude of dunya in its comparison, in its shortness, to the eternal life of the hereafter, then place your finger in the ocean. The drops that remain on your finger are an example of this earthly life, and the oceans and oceans of water thereafter are only but an example of the akhirah. The akhirah is even more vast. All the oceans' water put together, as much and as vast as it is, it has limits, it is restricted. The akhirah is eternal forever and ever. Allahu Azza wa Jal give us tawfiq to have this one thing that we bring about in our lives, fikri akhirah, this worry and concern, contemplate every day. There is the qabr, the questioning in the qabr. An intelligent, a person of great foresight, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked, who are the most wise and the most foresighted amongst human beings? Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives two criteria with two glad tidings. أَكْثَرُهُمْ ذِكْرًا لِلْمَوْتِ وَأَكْثَرُهُمْ إِسْتَعِدَادًا لِلْمَوْتِ. One is that person who remembers death abundantly, and secondly, practically prepares most adequately with amal and actions that will be of great benefit to the person in the hereafter. So two criteria: abundant remembrance of death and practical preparation for death, and two great glad tidings. They are the ones who are given true honor and dignity in this dunya. The more a person prepares for akhirah and forsakes the temptations of dunya, it does not get into one's heart, it is merely used as a means. Allah Ta'ala gives that person great honor and dignity. The more a person forsakes the temporary adornments of this world, the more it comes running to a person, and Allah Ta'ala turns the hearts of people favorably to such people. And second glad tiding, that they will be the nobility, the esteemed ones, the VIPs of the hereafter. Allahu Azza wa Jal give us tawfiq. Daily we take our time, inshallah, 2-3 minutes, contemplate, reflect on the qabr, on the various stages of the hereafter, and bring about, Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahimahullah, in his masterpiece and excellent compilation of Tafsir of Quran Kareem, Ma'arif al-Quran, has mentioned, if I recall, I think in the Tafsir of Surah Al-Fatiha, that one of the greatest revolutionary forces in Islam is this fikr-e akhirah. One of the greatest means of revolutionizing a person from the inside is this worry and concern of the akhirah. Allahu Azza wa Jalla give us tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.
ہمارے مولانا محمد آکو صاحب آئے ہیں ماشاءاللہ ان کا تبلیغ سے بھی تعلق ہے ساتھ ساتھ غیر مسلموں میں بھی کام کرتے ہیں اور بہت سارے غیر مسلم اللہ تبارک و تعالی نے ان کے ہاتھ پر مسلمان بنائے ہیں اور مسلمان بننے کے ساتھ ساتھ وہ داعی بن گئے تو اس لیے ان کے بیان کو آپ غور سے سنیں جو ہمارے فارغ ہونے والے طالب علم ہیں وہ ان باتوں کو سیکھ لیں اس لیے کہ ان کو بھی آئندہ جیسے مسلمانوں میں کام کرنا ہے اسی طرح غیر مسلموں میں بھی دین کو پہنچانا ہے اور مولانا آکو صاحب نیو کاسل سے فارغ ہے پھر اس کے بعد ہمارے ہاں دار العلوم زکریہ میں بھی رہے ہیں تو ان کا بیان انشاءاللہ سن لیں گے
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وصلى الله على النبي الأمي برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم قال تعالى بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل هذه سبيلي أدعو إلى الله على بصيرة أنا ومن اتبعني وسبحان الله وما أنا من المشركين وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يزال الله يغرس في هذا الدين غرسا يستعملهم في طاعته او كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم respected ulama kiram this is the instruction of my hazrat and my ustad that's why I have to sit here in front of you otherwise I have no right at all Allah help me to share something which will be beneficial for myself and through hazrat's duas inshallah I will present few words that This worry and concern for humanity. One is Allah's fadl, we have to invite the Muslim to Allah. In Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's time, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, every person he encountered with, every person that was met, when a Muslim was met, thought about deen. When a Muslim was met, he was invited to Islam. No non-Muslim came into encountered with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam except that he was given a full invitation to Allah's deen. This was Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's way and the way of all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. We return to the Sariya of Abdullah ibn Jahsh radiallahu anhu, the first Sahabi who was known as Amirul Mu'mineen. From the Alqab of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. At that time, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's time, he was appointed as Amir of this contingent of Sahaba radiallahu anhum who was sent to one region of Nakhla. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught them adab. He gave them a letter and said, don't open it except after a certain point. So they get to this point and he opens this letter. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, now don't force your companions. Whoever wants to return, allow them to return. Whoever wants to give their life, they should carry on. And then Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives them instructions. Get to this point, bring information and come back. So they get to this point. They see this caravan passing consisting of a lot of wealth and four individuals. Hakam bin Kaysan, Uthman bin Mughira, and Uthman and Mughira. The three of them, but there were four of them. So now they are in a predicament. What should they do? Because we're still in the sacred months, and if we're going to leave them, they're going to enter the sacred lands. So now they're making mashura amongst themselves. they lay an attack. Because they said it's one of the two challenges. What happened was, one person got killed, one escaped. Amr bin Hadrami got killed. He was the fourth, Amr bin Hadrami. And the two were taken captive. Hakam bin Kaysan and Uthman were taken captive. And the wealth was brought to Medina Munawwara. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very upset. Sahaba radiallahu anhum were very, very upset. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was upset. The instruction was bring information. Not to do anything further. Bring information. قِفْ عَلَىٰ أَخْبَارِهِمْ. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, come back to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will give further instructions. So this was Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam educating Sahaba radiallahu anhum that do as you are told. Like he guided Hudhayfa bin Yaman radiallahu anhu. Don't go one step further. You go there into the khandaq, see what's happening, come back. So as he was there, he thought, let me end off Abu Sufyan, who wasn't yet radiallahu anhu. Then he remembered Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's instructions. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught Sahaba radiallahu anhum ta'a and manna all the time. So here as well, a similar incident. But while this whole condition came in Medina Munawwara, that these Sahaba who went in this contingent with Abdullah bin Jahash radiallahu anhu were very emotional. Because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was upset. Sahaba radiallahu anhum were upset. No one is happy with them until the verses of Quran that came. But in this interim, these two captives who were in Masjid al-Nabawi, what happened to them? Every individual was given dawat. Every person was invited to Allah. The hadith is clear. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is sitting with Hakam bin Kaysan li sa'at for hours on end. Umar radiallahu anhu sees Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Nabi of Allah, how much you sat with him? Da'ahu. يَرْجِعْ إِلَىٰ أُمِّهِ الْهَاوِيَةِ. Let him go to hellfire. How much you explain to him? You explain like this. You explain like that. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't adhere to what Umar radiallahu anhu had to say. He sat with Hakam bin Kaysan, and after a lengthy period of time, حَتَّى أَسْلَمَ الْحَكَمْ. Hakam became Muslim. And such a sahabi he became. Umar radiallahu anhu says, فَأَخَذَنِي مَا تَقَدَّمَ وَمَا تَأَخَّرَ. I was very, very emotional. What an opinion I gave to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to his sahaba. He said to them, see, لَوْ أَطَعْتُكُمْ فِيهِ آنِفًا فَتَرَكْتُهُ لَدَخَلَ النَّارِ. That individual, you told me to leave him. If I had to leave him, he would go to Jahannam. See now, what a sahabi he became. He gave his life and became shaheed in بِئْرْ مَعُونَ with Haram bin Milhan radiallahu anhu. The sahabi who was stabbed whilst giving dawat to the ruler Abu Tufail of that region, Jabbar bin Abi Salma stabs him, pierces him, and the saham pierces through his back and goes through his chest, and blood squirts out, and he raises his hand filled with blood and he says, Fustu wa Rabbil Kaaba. Hakam bin Kaysan radiallahu anhu became shaheed with Haram bin Milhan radiallahu anhu. So every individual was given dawat. There's no Nabi after Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How can we, as the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, come in encounter with any individual, and we didn't tell him that Islam is for you. Allah is also for you. Quran is also for you. Isa alayhi salam is mentioning. This is throughout Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life. Every individual. Thumama bin Uthal Layfi. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wrote letters to the kings of the world, Sahaba was sent. Early 7th year Hijri. Sahaba was sent to meet rulers. Dihya Kalbi radiallahu anhu went to meet the ruler of Rome, the Roman Empire at that time. Abdullah bin Hudhafa Sahmi radiallahu anhu goes to Persia. Hatib bin Abi Balta'a radiallahu anhu goes to Muqawqis of Alexandria. Salit bin Amr radiallahu anhu goes to Thumama bin Uthal Laythi. Thumama was also very, very arrogant with regards to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's letter. And he had also assassinated Sahaba radiallahu anhum. On one occasion he goes for Umrah. Okay, tell me, what is superior? Are you more superior or this dog of mine? He says, I can't answer you now. He says, what do you mean? What a simple question. He says, if I die with Iman, then I am better than your dog. Otherwise, if I am deprived of Iman, definitely your dog is better than me. He was so touched at the statement, he said to his men, keep him. I'm coming back. He came back from his hunt. He sat with them that entire night. And the scholar took the opportunity and connected him to Allah. He says, come back to me when I become the king, because I worry that now embracing Islam could jeopardize my position. And then the incident is lengthy, how beautiful, where Sheikh Jamaluddin leaves, but he awaits. When is Tughlaq going to become the next king? And Sheikh Jamaluddin was on his deathbed, And Hazrat Mufti Al-Haq Sahib explained so beautifully that he calls his son, Sheikh Rashiduddin, to say that now you have to return. When Tughlaq becomes the king, you have to return to him. And you have to tell him that my father has left this world with iman, so he can safely say, meaning he told him what amanat to tell him. Few months later, Tughlaq then becomes the ruler. And Rashiduddin undertakes this journey among the Turks, the Mughals. The Mughals and the Tatars. And he finally reaches Tughlaq Taimur, his palace, his huge tent. And they refuse him entry. The guards say, you want to meet this ruler? Not possible at all. He spent that entire night waiting. He didn't allow him entry. He waited. And obviously he was in dua. Obviously he was crying to Allah for humanity's hidayat. And it was the time of Fajr where he rendered the adhan. And he called the adhan so beautifully. Hazrat explains the meaning of adhan. Allah give us tawfiq. Wherever we go, give the adhan. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, لا يسمع صوت المؤذن إنسٌ ولا جنٌ ولا شيء. In another hadith, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, إذا قمت في البوادي فرفع صوتك بالنداء. Raise your voice with the adhan. Hazrat explains the meaning of adhan. The four times takbir, it means deen must reach the four corners of the world. Anyway, the incident we have come to hear, Hazrat, but this is the request. Invite every person to Allah. Invite every person to Islam. It's very important to repeatedly go to our Muslim brothers. There's no effort like this effort of tabligh. What an effort. But who's going to cry for the non-Muslims? We cannot say that when we come right, then they are given a chance. They're dying every day. Allah made us encounter with them. We didn't just meet them by chance. Allah made us meet them. Whether it was by a garage, whether it was on a journey, whether they're working for us. We are the ummah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And especially us who were students of deen, every person we meet, we have to present to him the message of Islam. It is duty. It is not some virtue if we do it. And if we don't do it, it's either one of two things. It's either we're proud that we're scared to be insulted. But how can we feel proud when Anbiya alayhi wasalam were insulted for this? And I can guarantee you, my respected elders, they're not going to insult you. 99% will actually listen to you. And even the literature that you'll give them, they will take it from you. Maybe that 1 to 10% will tell you no. At that time, be kind still, with a smiling face, say, sir, may God Almighty bless you. Have a lovely day further. Finish it off nicely. Don't take offense when he said no. But it is our duty. If we didn't do it, what are we going to say to Allah on the day of judgment? That there was no Nabi to come. And we didn't take that opportunity. So this is the request. And also when we're coming to the majlis, and when we're going to the markaz, bring these new brothers into the environment. MashaAllah, we're used to picking up our friends, our brothers, No, Allah gave us cars. Bring these new people. Give them an opportunity. Bring three of our friends, one of these new brothers. Wallah, it will have a great impact. Allah give us tawfiq. Afwan Hazrat.
Haider Sabaya. Maulana Haider Sahab, Masturat ki jamaat mein Pakistan gaye the, wo kargozari sunayenge inshaAllah.
Hindustan wala kar guzare bhi suna hai Hindustan wala kar guzare Bismillahirrahmanirrahim Alhamdulillah through the fadl and karam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in November Allah ta'ala gave me the opportunity to travel to India. Prior to traveling, I was worried that I'm traveling alone. So I made extensive mashwara with Hazrat Maulana Ibrahim Pandor Sahib, Damar Barakatuhum, who spent a lot of time in the khidmat of Hazrat Mufti Mahmud Al-Hasan Gangohi, Rahmatullah Alayh. And Alhamdulillah, Hazrat gave me mashwara advice and even coordinated the program. And with Allah's fadl and karam, Alhamdulillah, the trip was a very, very inspiring trip. An eye-opener, a lot of things which I did not know about, Alhamdulillah, came to know about. Hazrat Mufti Ibrahim Pandor Sahib, Damar Barakatum, he spent the better part of his life in the khidmat of Hazrat Mahmud Hasan Gangohi, Rahmatullah Alayh. Nonetheless, I traveled to Bombay and visited met various ulama. There's a famous library in Bombay, which is more than 300 years old, and there's more than 1,200 makhtutat, hand scripts, kitabs written, you know, by hand in original form. Very, very interesting. Also had the opportunity of meeting Hazrat Maulana Khalilur Rahman Sajjad Nomani, Damat Barakatum, who wasn't well at that moment. He visited South Africa also. And I asked him for some nasihat advice. And Hazrat mentioned that in South Africa, alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you a lot of means. Allah ta'ala has blessed people with wealth. But at the same time, you have a major problem of crime, etc. And one advice you need to give to the people of South Africa is there is a very big gap between the haves and the have-nots. And in his own words, there's a lot of jealousy that has come into the hearts of the have-nots, in inverted commas. And that is why they are resorting to these type of violence, hijackings, kidnappings, etc. And the Muslim community need to increase the efforts of dawah, as Mufti Saab mentioned now, and also live more simpler lives. In this way, they will be safeguarding themselves and they will not bringing themselves in the eyes of the people. Everything simplicity needs to come in our mode of travel, a mode of dress, mode of residence, whatever we do, our functions, simplicity has to come in. Alhamdulillah, also went to the Bombay Merkez, which is in Nero. Alhamdulillah, met few of the elders. There was an ishtima. Some of the elders were out of the country. Some of them came to Pakistan at that moment. So whoever was present, alhamdulillah, had an opportunity of meeting them. Then I traveled to Gujarat, and I think most probably between UP, which is a province of India, and Gujarat, most of the madaris and madrasas are to be found in these two provinces. So alhamdulillah, I had the opportunity of visiting many of the big Darul Ulooms of Gujarat, Jamia Ashrafia Lahore, Jamia Ashrafia in Randair, and then Jamia Husainia, Dabel Madrasa, and then in Simlok also, Nosari visited the hospital which is there, run very professionally. Alhamdulillah, they even have a cardiac unit. They've got more than 600 people who are either nurses or doctors or specialists or, you know, workers, etc. And big Darul Ulooms like Matliwala, Kantaria, Tankaria, Darul Ulum in Sitpong, which I heard the name Sitpong, which is also in Baruch, Mufti Ibrahim Saab in Badoli, running a madrasa, alhamdulillah. Akkal Kua, big Darul Ulum, initiated by Hazrat Maulana Qari Siddiq Saab Rahmatullah Alayh. And when he laid the foundation, he said that this institute will become a very big institute. And alhamdulillah, they run more than 50 to 80 Darul Ulooms, 50 to 80 Muslim schools, which was also upon the advice of Hazrat Qari Siddiq Saab Rahmatullah Alayh. And also a hospital where they produce doctors, and an MBBS college, etc., technical college. So alhamdulillah, good work taking place in Gujarat. And then I traveled to Jaipur, India, because from Jaipur, India, then I had to go. There was a conference of the muftis in a place in Mewat. Alhamdulillah, good opportunity to travel the length and breadth of Mewat, because Mewat of India is in Haryana province, province of Rajasthan, and also province of Punjab. There is a very, very big madrasa there in a place called Malil, Kerala. And about 400 muftis were having their 28th seminar. This was initiated 28 years ago by the great alim scholar Qazi Mujahid al-Islam rahmatullah alayh. And who Qazi Mujahid al-Islam visited South Africa on numerous occasions. And the background of these seminars was that the late Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel rahmatullah alayh and the South African ulama in general would pose all the different challenges the Muslims of South Africa are facing in terms of medical aid, insurance, provident funds, organ transplants, etc. And then Qazi Mujahid al-Islam rahmatullah alayh used to go and call the muftis, and then they would discuss and debate, etc. So it's done on a very, very professional basis, where they would choose the present modus operandi of this of the Islamic Fiqh Academy, as they call it, is that they would choose about 5 or 8 topics, and they would ask for input from the different muftis. They might get 50, 100 inputs. And for example, let's say they're discussing dealing in foreign exchange. This year they discuss usage of social media. Is it permissible, not permissible? What are the benefits? What are the harms, etc.? They also discuss jahl. Is jahl not knowing? A person says, I did not know. Now, is that a valid excuse or not? Then they would break it down to aqaid, a'mal, akhlaq, mu'asharat, mu'amalat, etc. Alhamdulillah. And what they would do is that in the beginning of the year, they would send the question. First of all, they would get professionals to come and brief them if it is a non-Islamic matter. For example, they want to know about social media. They'll get 3-4 specialists and they'll prepare a sort of a, put the summary of what social media is all about, the benefits, the harms, etc. And they send it to about 400 muftis. From the 400 muftis, 200 muftis have the time to respond, or 150 have the time to respond. They send their responses, they collate all those responses, they dissect it, they put the positives, negatives separately, and then they send again back, they send it back to the 400 muftis and tell them, if any of you want to review your opinions, etc. on the matter, you may review your opinion. Alhamdulillah, then the muftis, some of them review their opinion, change their opinions because certain things they were not aware of, and then alhamdulillah, they have a seminar of only the muftis, and it rotates, the venue rotates. It used to be in November, but because of Ramadan coming closer, now presently it's in November, maaf, and alhamdulillah, so it was very, very inspiring how they go about, you know, having academic discussion. They have guests from different parts of, the world, about 20 to 30 different guests from the UK, from places like Iran, Afghanistan. Some Arab guests also come from South Africa. There were about 6 ulama who attended. So alhamdulillah, it was very, very inspiring how they, in a very professional manner, alhamdulillah, they debate, they discuss. And perhaps at this particular level, this type of effort is not taking place in the Muslim world, where you're having now the informed opinion of about 400 muftis, alhamdulillah, on any fiqhi matter, alhamdulillah. Apart from that, alhamdulillah, I also had the opportunity of visiting Darul Uloom Deoband. A lot of progress in terms of building work, expansions, etc. The masjid itself, they put up, it must have cost them about 70 million rands. They've got a capacity of about 30 to 40,000 people, as they explained. And the total, you know, student role in Deoband could be around between 8 and 10,000 students, alhamdulillah. And met the principal also. It was met Maulana Arshad Madni Sahib, Damar Barakat, to whom, who's not well at the moment, Allah grant him sihat and shifa. But we met in the Jamiatul Mahind offices, etc. At that time, Mufti Said Palanpuri Sahib was not well. He was in Bombay, so we could not meet him. But alhamdulillah, it was alhamdulillah, good opportunity. From there, went to Saharanpur Madrasa. It was a Friday. Alhamdulillah, made Juma namaz there. Met some of the elders. Hazrat Maulana Talha Sahib, Damar Barakatuhum, Shukar Alhamdulillah, visited the residence, the Darul Iqama, the Darul Hadith, etc. From there we proceeded to a place just before Raipur, and there is one very great alim who is a Khalifa of Hazrat Maulana Abdul Rahim Raipuri, or Hazrat Maulana Abdul Qadir Raipuri Rahmatullah Alayh. Hazrat Maulana, I think his name is Maulana Muzammil Hussain Shah Rahmatullah Damar Barakatuh, who was about 85 years old, had the opportunity of taking present in his majlis, which took place on a Friday after Asr, between Asr and Maghrib, 85, 90 years old, alhamdulillah. Then we went to Raipur, alhamdulillah, and Raipur is famous for, the Khanqa of Raipur. Hazrat Maulana Abdul Rahim Raipuri Rahmatullah Alayh was known as Bade Hazrat. With great qurbani and sacrifice, he was a student of Hazrat Shaykhul Hind Rahmatullah Alayh, and when he qualified with great qurbani, he started this madrasa and this khanqa, where in the winter months there was no means, he could not afford blankets and warm clothing, etc. So he used to spend the nights rolling himself up in the straw mat. And when he used to feel cold at the feet side, then he would pull up his legs And you know, he would get that, bring warmth to the legs, but then the top part of the body would be cold. And when then he would bring the top part of the body under the straw mat. And alhamdulillah, in this particular manner, you know, he made qurbani, etc. Hazrat Maulana Abdul Qadir Raipuri rahmatullah says that when he went there to spend time in the company of this great Sheikh Waliullah, the roti used to be baked raw, and he complained to the cook that, you know, your rotis are raw. The next day when the rotis came, it was even more raw. So he realized that, you know, it's no sense I complain. And in that particular manner, you know, he spent his entire student days under this great wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah, zikr majlis takes place before Fajr, before Zohar, after Asr, after Isha, etc. There's a beautiful madrasa running there, and you still get that beauty of the zikr and the environment of the khanqa, etc. From there we proceeded to a place called Baras. Now, first of all, we went to Sarhind. Sarhind is where the qabr of Hazrat Sheikh Ahmad Sarhindi rahmatullah alayhi, who was known as Mujaddid Al-Faisani rahmatullah alayhi, and he was known as the reformer of the ummah at the end of the first century, after 1000 years unanimously by the ummah, because when you know, when the ummah started declining, and that is the time when the Mughals were ruling, and one of the Mughal rulers started a new religion called the Deen-e Ilahi. He made effort, and alhamdulillah, he prevented the ummah from sliding into decline, etc. And alhamdulillah, thereafter, Sultan Aurangzeb rahmatullah alayhi, he ruled for 50 years, and alhamdulillah, was a very pious ruler of the Mughal Empire. Alhamdulillah, so the credit goes to this great wali of Allah, Sheikh Ahmad Sarhindi rahmatullah alayhi, Mujaddid Al-Faisani rahmatullah alayhi. And thereafter, we proceeded to a place called Baras. Maulana Ibrahim Pandor Sahib Damar Barakatum told us that you must go and visit there. According to Kashf, Kashf means, you know, where people through divine inspiration they are able to say. Sheikh Shah Waliullah Muhaddis Dehelvi rahmatullah alayh, he said that they, from the 9 qabrs, some of the qabrs belong to the are the qabrs of Anbiya alayhi salam. So each qabr was about 30 meters long, subhanallah. Now exactly we don't know, and it's not like, you know, it's mansus or something that you can say 100% with total certainty, etc. But alhamdulillah, you know, it shows that India is a very blessed place. When I was in Surat, if I just go back a little bit, in Randair, they are the qabrs of the Taba Tabi'in, or the Tabi'in's qabrs. And when I was in Peshawar, I'm going fast forward a little bit because I'm the topic. In Peshawar, there is a place called Ashab Baba. And there, the qabr of a sahabi by the name of Hazrat Sanan bin Salma radiallahu ta'ala and his companions is to be found there. And they made hijrat and then they passed away there. So, alhamdulillah, is a Mubarak land, you know, the land of Hind. When we say India, then we mean United India, comprising of India, Pakistan and Bangladesh, etc. So alhamdulillah, had the opportunity of, you know, visiting these Mubarak places, etc. Also I visited a place called Fulat. Now Fulat is a place where Hazrat Shah Waliullah Muhaddis Dehelvi rahmatullah alayhi was born, and they show you that this is his house. Simple, very simple house, you know, the masjid of Fulat. And he had a son by the name of Shah Hakim Ahlullah rahmatullah alayhi, who was teaching Quran, and then a snake appeared. And he killed the snake, and thereafter somebody called him outside, and he thought that, you know, somebody has a need, and they asked him to follow him. And then when he followed them, followed that person, they took him to the jungles, and he realized that some matter is complicated here. And he appeared in the court of the jinn. The jinn were having a court case against him, and the charge against him was that you killed an innocent jinn. You know, he was dumbstruck, so he told them that, you know, I heard from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that if a scorpion appears or a snake appears, then you are allowed to kill it. So there was a jinn who was a sahabi jinn. He was more than 1000 years old. He said, yes, I can confirm that I did hear this hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this hadith, this incident is known as Hadithul Jinn. And that Sahabi Jinn mentioned few other hadiths also. So in the kitab when they teach this, then they make mention about this Hadithul Jinn, the incident of the jinn. And alhamdulillah visited his qabr also. And they said that, you know, all those trees that you see there in the background outside the village, that is where the court case took place of the jinn. I wasn't fortunate enough to see any of the jinn, but you know, they pointed out that to me, that is where, you know, the whole incident transpired. Alhamdulillah, we had the opportunity of visiting, passing by places like Shamli, where the great battle of Shamli took place, when the ulama were fighting for the freedom of India, and now it's all totally developed, etc. Also visited, you know, Tana Bhawan, where Hazrat Maulana Hakimul Ummat, Hakimul Ummat Mujaddid Millat, Hazrat Maulana Tanvir Rahmatullah Alayh is buried there. He did the sterling work of writing many, more than 700 books, you know, the famous Beheshtis ever, etc. Visited Kandla, which is the place of Hazrat Maulana Ilyas Rahmatullah Alayh, Maulana Yusuf Rahmatullah Alayh, Hazrat Sheikh Zakaria Rahmatullah Alayh. It brought to mind, you know, that Hazrat Sheikh Zakaria Rahmatullah Alayh once in 6 months used to visit his village and go to all the houses and just make salam so that he can make sila rahmi and, you know, keep in touch with the family people, which is slowly coming out of society. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to you, men, family ties, friends and family ties, etc. 5 minutes just greeting everybody, and the famous incident that he used to visit one particular family member and that person would not greet him, and next time he goes, he again go and greet him, and that person would not say walaikum salam, and a third time and a fourth time he would go there, and the people would say, but why do you go and visit that person? He doesn't have the decency of greeting you and replying to your greeting. He would say, I have to do my duty of greeting the person. He has to do the duty of saying walaikum salam. If he doesn't fulfill his duty, it doesn't mean I must stop fulfilling my duty. Alhamdulillah, after Allah gave that relative hidayat, and alhamdulillah, you know, he realized his error, and alhamdulillah, he made up, and then eventually became a murid of his Shaykh Zakaria rahmatullah alayh. So these are our kabirin, alhamdulillah. You know, we went there in Delhi also, performed salah, the Asr salah in Nizamuddin, alhamdulillah. Most of the elders were gone, etc. Very limited time, and then, you know, some Mubarak places. Very impressed when I went to Madrasa Tartirul Quran in Delhi. More than 400-500 students. Qari Suleiman of Mewat started this madrasa. Now his student is running it. And you know, when they tested the students, they told us to test. So we just read in between, read continue readings, and the ustad started testing them. The ustad tested them in a manner that, all right, give me the last ayat of Surah Maida, and he read the last ayat. Tell me the last words of Surah Maida, he read it. Tell me ayat number 14, read it. Ayat number 17, read it. Ayat number 23, read it. Ayat number 26, read it. Surah Tawbah, give me ayat number 13, he read the ayat. How does it end? Read it. So they asked about 70-80 questions to those 30 students, and alhamdulillah, all of them read correctly. So it shows, you know, how much pride they take in the Quran, that they were, virtually you can say that they are able to read the Quran backwards. Alhamdulillah. And if you tell them, just read me, give me that particular ayat, there's more than 114 surahs. Any surah you choose, alhamdulillah, they were able to read it. Alhamdulillah, went to Qutub Minar, which has become like a tourist attraction. But there is a qabr of Hazrat Khwaja Yahya Bakhtiar Kaki rahmatullah alayh. That when he passed away, he made a wasiyat that person must perform my janaza salah, who did not miss the 4 rakat sunnat of asr and never in his life. So when they looked, you know, they couldn't find anybody who could perform the janaza salah. So the sultan of the king of the time, Sheikh Al-Sultan Al-Tamas, he then stepped forward and he performed the janaza salah. And he said, today my sheikh, my ustad, my murabbi, he has exposed my quality, which I had kept hidden. So alhamdulillah, it shows that the people, the kings of the time, how pious they were. Alhamdulillah, thereafter also had the opportunity of going right up to Banda, Hathora, where Qari Siddiq Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi's son is now there. And you know, Qari Siddiq Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi was a great wali. He was a student. He and Hazrat Maulana Abrarul Haq Sahib also visited Hardoi. They were the special students of Mufti Mahmud Hasan Gangohi Rahmatullah Alayhi. In fact, Hazrat Mufti Mahmood Hasan Gangohi Rahmatullah used to say that, you know, if Allah Ta'ala has to ask me on the day of Qiyamah, what have you brought? I will say, I have brought a Siddiq and I have brought an Abrar. I have brought Mawlana Siddiq Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, Mawlana Abrar. One incident of Qari Siddiq Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, once he was coming at night, he was a very simple person, Alhamdulillah. And, you know, the Hindus would come to him and request him for duas, etc. So one day at night, the thieves got hold of him and they stole all his money. Whatever money he had of the madrasa, they stole it. And nonetheless, Maulana started proceeding to the madrasa. And then the thieves called out to him and say, "Oh Baba, please help us. What is the matter?" He said, "We can't move. We have become like statues." So then Hazrat said, "That make tawbah istighfar, you know, for the sin you have committed, and return the money, because this money does not belong to me." So he made dua, and alhamdulillah, those thieves made tawbah istighfar, and alhamdulillah, their lives changed thereafter. So alhamdulillah, you know, had the opportunity of being in the Hazrat Maulana Abdul Rauf Sahib, who was now in charge of the Hathora Madrasa, Hazrat Maulana Abraal Haq Sahib comes from. Alhamdulillah, we had breakfast with him, and then just after about a month or two, we heard that he also passed away. We went to the qabr of Hazrat Maulana Abraal Haq Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, and thereafter we were proceeding, going towards Lucknow. And on the way, you know, we stopped at a place called Rai Bareli. Now, the incident of Rai Bareli is very, very interesting. There was a great alim of Hazrat Adam Ban Nuri Rahmatullah Alayh, who migrated from India to Medina, and he sent one of his students, they say Shah Alimullah or Shah Alamullah, and he told the student that if you go to India and go and make tabligh of deen, and, you know, invite the people towards deen, make effort of deen, and if somebody invites you to stay over, then you must stay over. Nonetheless, when he came to this place called Rai Bareli, there was a majzoob. Now, a majzoob is a person, you know, who is, he's drowned in the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but he doesn't worry about his clothes, etc. And sometimes they wear minimum amount of clothes, just from the navel right up to the, you know, up to the knees, etc. So he asked the majzoob that, you know, why don't you wear decent clothes? So the majzoob said, there's only animals, you know, there's no human beings here. The human beings are a bit far away from here, other side of the mountain, etc. Nonetheless, the majzoob asked him, why have you come? He said, "My ustad said me to make the tabligh of deen." So the majzoob told him that, "You're right, you know, stay over here." And he told him that, "No, I have to go. I have to go and make the da'wat of deen." So he said, "But didn't your ustad tell you that if somebody invites you to stay over, then you must stay over?" So he said, "Yes, my ustad did say so." Then he said, "All right, let me show you." Then he pointed out to him that this is where you're going to build the masjid, and this is where your qabr will be. So he stayed behind and he started doing the work of deen and effort of deen, and he built the masjid there, and his qabr is also there, subhanallah. And in the mihrab of the qabr, there is a word, ayat of the word of the Quran, "Ma ta'buduna min ba'di," which is the ayat of the Quran that who will you worship after me? You know, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, you know, mentioned of the Anbiya alayhi salam, biggest worry and to the children when they asked them prior to leaving this world that, "Ma ta'buduna min ba'di," who are you going to worship after me, subhanallah. So, the qabrs of many great people, Hazrat Maulana Abul Hasan Nadvi Rahmatullah is also there. So, alhamdulillah, we had the opportunity of going to Kashmir also, and, you know, Maulana Rahmatullah Kashmiri was there. And then, alhamdulillah, now in January, February, we had the opportunity of going to Pakistan in the Mastura Jamaat. Shukr to Allah, there were three tashkils made. One was to Peshawar, and also to Sialkot and a place called Kasur. Alhamdulillah, Raivin is a place which everybody should visit. More than 25,000 people every day in Raivin, from different parts of the world, 40-50 different parts. The Qurbani, the people of Pakistan are making 1 year pedal Jamaat in Africa under very, very difficult circumstances, etc. It's very, very inspiring. And alhamdulillah, the effort, 24 hours taking place from after Fajr starting, Tahajjud Namaz, you know, people waking up, etc. Something beyond explanation, something which a person has to experience. The type of qurbani the people make, and everything on a voluntary basis, nobody gets paid, subhanallah, and how the deen of Allah is spreading in different parts of the world, subhanallah. And then lastly, we came to Karachi, went to Jamiatul Ulumul Islamiyah, Darulum Karachi, Jamia Faruqiya. There was a conference of the Wifaqul Madarisul Arabiya in Jamiatul Ulumul Islamiyah, where they had certain concerns regarding the government, etc. And, you know, one of the things that came up, that the Wifaqul Madarisul Arabiya at this moment, alhamdulillah, there are about 25,000 madrasas who are linked to the Wifaqul Madarisul Arabiya, and the total student role is about 3 million. And from the 3 million, 40% are doing hifz of the Quran Kareem. And Pakistan is producing at this point in time about 88,000 huffaz of the Quran who give imtihan annually. That is besides the ulama who are grading on an annual basis. Also, alhamdulillah, went to the khanqa of Hazrat Aqdas, Hazrat Maulana Shah Hakim Akhtar Sahib, rahmatullah alayh, spent few days there with Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Mazhar Sahib. So, alhamdulillah, it was a very inspiring journey and eye-opening, alhamdulillah. And it is encouraged that, you know, we visit our roots, our kabirin, the effort of tabligh and dawat, and our darulums, etc. The amount of work taking place in these continents, alhamdulillah, it's remarkable. And lastly, I'd like to conclude the incident. Hazrat Maulana Adil Sahib, who is now returned from Malaysia, he mentioned the incident in the Wifaq program that the Imam of Kaaba invited Hazrat Maulana Salimullah Khan Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali, my Ustad also, Shaykhul Hadith, and you know, for meals. So the Imam of Kaaba then had the jug of water in his hands and a basin and a small little bowl in order to wash his hands. So Maulana Salimullah Khan Sahib said, "You're the Imam of Kaaba, how can you be washing my hands?" So the Imam of Kaaba told Maulana Salimullah Khan Sahib, "Don't argue, let me wash your hands." He said, no, I can't allow you to wash my hands. I'll go to the basin and wash my hands. So the Imam of Kaaba told him, "See, I travel extensively to different parts of the world. And wherever I go, I ask the people, where have you qualified? Have you qualified from the Medina University?" So majority of the people, 80-90% of the people, wherever I meet them, whether it be in Europe, America, Australia, Africa or Asia, they tell me, "No, we are linked to the Darulums of India, Pakistan and Bangladesh, which is ultimately linked to Darulum Deoband." He said that amount of khidmat that you people have done, I cannot even think about it. Therefore, give me the honor, at least the opportunity of washing your hands. Subhanallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep all our elders with hifazat and afiyat, and give us hidayat and tawfiq to take maximum benefit of them. And maaf for taking extra time. Allah ta'ala forgive us, and Allah ta'ala keep the shadow of our Hazrat, our Ustad, Hazrat Mufti Sahib, long, and give him, grant him good health so that we can take maximum spiritual benefit from him. Jazakallah khairan jaza wa akhiru da'wan alhamdulillah rabbil alamin.
Maulana Iqbal sahab, baz hazrat ki darkhwast hai ki aap chand ayat tilawat farmaye. Surah Kaf ki 3-4 ayat tilawat farma dijiye.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما إنا عرضنا الأمانة على السماوات والأرض والجبال فأبين أن يحملنها وأشفقن منها وحملها الإنسان إنه كان ظلوما جهولا ليعذب الله المنافقين والمنافقات والمشركين والمشركات ويتوب الله على المؤمنين والمؤمنات وكان الله غفورا رحيما صدق الله العظيم.
نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد محترم علماء كرام ومعزز دوستوں ساتھیوں اللہ تبارک و تعالی اس مسجد والوں کو یہاں کے علماء اور یہاں کے مصلیوں کو جزائے خیر عطا فرما دے ان کو اللہ تبارک و تعالی نے خیر کے کاموں کے لیے قبول فرمایا ہے مختلف جماعتیں بھی یہاں آتی ہیں تصوف کی لائن کے لوگ بھی یہاں آتے ہیں دین کی محنت کرنے والے یہاں آتے ہیں, لوگ ان سے فائدہ اٹھاتے ہیں اور یہ حضرات ان کی خدمت کرتے ہیں. اللہ تعالیٰ ان کی خدمات کو قبول فرمائے. مجھ سے پہلے مولانا برہان صاحب نے مولانا محمد آکو صاحب اور حضرت مولانا حیدر صاحب نے یہاں کے مقامی زبان انگلش میں آپ حضرات کو فائدہ پہنچایا. آپ کے سامنے دین کی باتیں پیش کی. مختصر ٹائم میں میں دو تین باتیں عرض کرتا ہوں, اس کے بعد ہمارے مولانا درویش صاحب ذکر کرائیں گے, ہم سب ذکر میں شرکت کریں گے. یہاں جو ہم آئے ہیں تو ہمارے ساتھ آنے والوں کا تعلق تین لائنوں سے ہے, ذکر اذکار کی لائن یعنی تصوف کی لائن, اللہ اللہ کرنے کی لائن, اور یوں کہیے کہ خانقاہی لائن. دوسرا ہمارا تعلق تعلیم اور تعلم کی لائن سے ہے, پڑھنا پڑھانا دن رات ہمارا کام ہے, ہمارے طلبہ کا کام ہے. ہمیں کچھ آئے یا نہ آئے لیکن اس کام میں لگے ہیں, اللہ تعالیٰ نے لگایا, اللہ تعالیٰ نے مشغول رکھا. اور تیسری چیز جس کے ساتھ ہمارا تعلق ہے, جو ہمارے لیے اوڑھنا بچھونا ہے اور جو ہمارے لیے کھانے پینے سے زیادہ ضروری ہے, وہ دعوت و تبلیغ کا کام ہے. تین کام ہمارے لیے اہم ہے اور تینوں سے ہمارا تعلق ہے. قرآن کریم میں ایک سورت ہے سورہ کہف, اس سورہ کہف کے بارے میں احادیث میں آیا ہے کہ جو سورہ کہف کو جمعے کے دن یا رات کو پڑھتا ہے, اللہ تبارک و تعالی اس کو نور دیتے ہیں, جو نور اور روشنی ایک جمعے سے ہو کر دوسرے جمعے تک ہو, پھر پڑھتا ہے تو تیسرے جمعے تک پڑھتا رہتا ہے اور پوری زندگی روشنی بنتی جاتی ہے. ایک اور حدیث میں یوں آیا ہے کہ جو رات کے وقت سورہ کہف کو پڑھتا ہے, اللہ تعالیٰ اس کو ایسی روشنی دیتے ہیں جو روشنی اس کی جگہ سے خانہ کعبہ تک ہوتی ہے, اتنی لمبی روشنی. ساؤتھ افریقہ سے لے کر خانہ کعبہ تک کتنی لمبی روشنی ہے. یہ جو روشنی نصیب ہوتی ہے سورہ کہف کی وجہ سے, اس کی حکمت اور اس میں کیا راز ہے, وہ یہ کہ سورہ کہف میں اللہ تبارک و تعالی نے ان تین مضامین کو بیان فرمایا ہے, تین چیزوں کو. خانقاہی لائن کو بھی بیان کیا, اور اللہ تبارک و تعالی نے تعلیم اور تعلم سیکھنا سکھانا اس لائن کو بھی بیان کیا. اللہ تعالیٰ نے دعوت و تبلیغ جس کو ہدایت کہتے ہیں اور ہدایت کا پھیلانا اس کو بھی بیان فرمایا. سمجھ لینا چاہیے ہدایت بھی نور ہے, علم اور عمل یہ بھی نور ہے. انزلنا الیکم نورا مبینا, قرآن کریم بھی نور ہے. واتبعوا النور الذی انزلنا, اور خانقاہی لائن دل کو, اپنے دل کو ذکر کے ذکر سے صاف کرنا اور اس کو جلا بخشنا, اس کو چمکانا, یہ بھی نور ہے. ذکر نور ہے, اور رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے فرمایا ہر چیز کے لیے صاف کرنے کا آلہ ہے جس کو چمکایا جائے. چمکانے کا آلہ ہے, دل کو چمکانے کے لیے اور دل کو نور بخشنے کے لیے اللہ تعالیٰ کا ذکر ہے. اب جب اس صورت میں تینوں نور جمع ہو گئے تو سمجھ لینا چاہیے کہ وہ کتنا بڑا نور ہے. اس لیے ایک ہفتے سے دوسرے ہفتے تک بھی نور, اور یہاں سے لے کر خانہ کعبہ تک بھی نور. تو پہلا نور جو اس میں ہے وہ خانقاہ لائن کا نور ہے. اللہ تبارک و تعالی نے اصحاب کہف کا قصہ سنایا, اور لمبی بات ہے, مختصر وقت میں مختصر چیز پیش کرتا ہوں. آج آٹھ بجے بند کر دوں گا تاکہ دیر نہ ہو جائے. کہ مشرکین جو مکہ کے مشرک تھے وہ ہر طرح رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کے مشن کو, اللہ تعالی کے مشن کو ناکام بناتے تھے. اس کے لیے وہ مختلف تدبیریں کرتے تھے. ایک مرتبہ انہوں نے یہ تدبیر کی کہ مکہ مکرمہ سے مدینہ منورہ دو آدمیوں کو بھیجا, جس میں ایک عقبہ ابن ابی معیط, عقبہ ابن ابی معیط, اور دوسرا غالباً نظر ابن حارث, کہ تم جاؤ مدینہ منورہ میں یہود سے مشکل سوالات پوچھ لو تاکہ ہم رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم سے وہ سوالات کریں, اگر ان کا جواب نہیں دیا تو پھر ہم کامیاب ہو جائیں گے. یہود نے تین سوالات دے دیے. ایک یہ روح کے متعلق پوچھئے کہ روح کیا ہے, روح کی کیا کیفیت ہے, روح خواب میں کیا کرتی ہے, نیند کے وقت کیا ہوتی ہے, کیا ہوتا ہے, اور مرنے کے بعد روح کا کیا بنتا ہے, اور اصحاب کہف کہف کے بارے میں پوچھ لے وہ کون سے لوگ تھے جو گم ہو گئے تھے اور بہت مدت کے بعد جاگ گئے تھے, اور ان کا کیا قصہ تھا. اور سکندر ذوالقرنین کے بارے میں پوچھ لے وہ کون تھا, کیسے تھا, اس کا کیا قصہ. واپس آئی تو یہ تین سوالات رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم سے پوچھے, اور پھر یہود نے اپنے طور پر یہ تین سوالات مدینہ میں بھی پوچھے جب ہجرت ہوئی. اللہ تبارک و تعالی نے تینوں سوالوں کا جواب یوں دیا. روح کا ثواب سورہ بنی اسرائیل میں دیا, اس کو الگ کر دیا اس لیے کہ اس کا جواب مبہم تھا, اس کے جواب میں تفصیل نہیں تھی, یا جواب ہی نہیں دیا اور یا جواب دیا لیکن چھوٹا سا. قل الروح من امر ربی, اس کا ایک مطلب یہ ہے قل الروح من علم ربی, روح اللہ تعالی کے علم میں ہے, ہمیں کچھ معلوم نہیں کہ روح کی کیا تفصیلات ہیں. اور ایک مطلب یہ ہے قل الروح من امر ربی, کہ یہ روح عالم امر میں سے ہے, عالم خلق میں سے نہیں ہے, عالم امر اوپر والا عالم ہے, اتنا بتایا بس. اور دو سوالات جن کا مفصل جواب دیا ان کو اللہ تبارک و تعالی نے الگ سورہ کہف میں بیان فرمایا, اس لیے کہ اس کی جواب میں تفصیل تھی. اصحاب کہف خانقاہی لائن میں چلے گئے تھے, بادشاہ تھا دقیانوس اس کا نام یا اور نام تھا, لوگوں کو شرک پر مجبور کرتا تھا, تم مشرک بنو, صنم اور اسلام کو سجدہ کرو. جو لوگ تیار نہیں ہوتے تھے ان کے لیے سزائے قتل تھی. یہ جو کہف والے لوگ تھے اصحاب کہف, اور بظاہر تقریباً سات تھے, سامن ہم قلب ہم, جیسے مولانا برہان صاحب نے رقیم کا نام لیا. رقیم اس کتے کو کہتے ہیں جس کی پیشانی پر سفید ہو تو کالے داغ ہو اور کالا کتا ہو تو سفید داغ ہو, اس کو رقیم کہتے ہیں. اور رقیم کی معنی تختی بھی ہے, جو تختی غار کے اوپر لگی ہوئی تھی. ان تین آدمیوں کو بھی, یہ جو سات آدمی تھے, مکسل مینا تملیخا سنونس مرتونس سارینونس اور ذو نواس کا عطوت یونس, جو فقہا نے ان کے علماء نے ان کے نام لکھے ہیں, اور بعض لوگ بعض تعویذات میں بھی ان کا نام لکھتے ہیں. ہم بتاتے ہیں اگر یہ مقصد ہو کہ ہم ان کے ناموں سے وسیلہ پکڑتے ہیں تو ٹھیک ہے, اور اگر یہ مطلب ہو کہ ہم ان سے مدد مانگتے ہیں تو ناجائز ہے, شرک ہے, پھر مت کرو. وہ انہوں نے مشورہ کیا کہ ہمیں مہلت ملی ہے لیکن ہم تو ہمیں مجبور کیا جائے گا, اس لیے وہ چلے گئے. ایک کتا بھی ان کے ساتھ ساتھ چلا گیا غار میں. کہف اس غار کو کہتے ہیں جو وسیع غار ہو. اس میں گئے اور یہ ایسا ہے جیسے خانقاہ میں لوگ الگ ہو جاتے ہیں دنیا سے, اعتکاف میں لوگ الگ ہو جاتے ہیں مسجد میں, کسی شیخ کے پسات کسی خانقاہ میں آتے ہیں تاکہ سب سے الگ ہو جائیں اور اللہ تعالیٰ کی عبادت کرے اور ذکر کرے. اور رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم فرماتے ہیں الوحدۃ خیر من جلیس السوء والجلیس الصالح خیر من الوحدہ. اکیلا رہنا بہتر ہے خراب ساتھی سے, برے ساتھی سے, جیسے مولانا برہان نے آپ کو سنایا. اور اچھے ساتھی اکیلے رہنے سے بہتر ہے. رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم سے سوال ہوا جب فتنے کا زمانہ ہو تو ہم کیا کریں. دیکھیے فتنے کا کیا مطلب ہے, انما اموالکم واولادکم فتنہ, مال اور دولت بھی آدمی کے لیے کبھی کبھی فتنہ بن جاتا ہے, کچھ وقت کے لیے اس سے بھی الگ ہو جائے. بچوں کی چیخ و پکار سے تھوڑی دیر کے لیے الگ ہو جائے کچھ دیر کے لیے, اور اپنے مال اور دولت سے بھی کچھ وقت کے لیے مسجد میں آ جائے, خانقاہ میں آ جائے, ذکر کی جگہ میں آ جائے, یہ بھی فتنہ ہے. جو لوگ کوشش کرتے ہیں کسی پر محنت کرتے ہیں کہ اس کو دین سے ہٹا دیں, یہ بھی فتنہ ہے. ان الذین فتنوا المؤمنین, وہ لوگ جنہوں نے مسلمانوں کو فتنے میں ڈالا, یعنی مسلمانوں کو دین سے ہٹانے کی کوشش کرتے ہیں, یہ بھی فتنہ ہے. تو مختلف فتنے ہوتے ہیں, اور یہ بھی فتنہ ہے کہ آدمی اپنے مال اور عیال میں اتنا مشغول ہو جائے کہ اس کو کسی اور چیز کا وقت ہی نہ ملتا ہو. یہ سب فتنے ہیں. تو رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم فرماتے ہیں, رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم سے سوال کیا گیا کہ یا رسول اللہ فتنے کے وقت میں ہم کیا کریں. فرمایا کونو احلاس بیوتکم, تم اپنے گھروں کے ٹاٹ کی طرح بن جاؤ, یعنی الگ رہو, گھر میں بھی الگ رہے, وہ بھی ٹاٹ کی طرح بننا ہے, اور ایسی جگہ میں چلا جائے جہاں اللہ اللہ کا ذکر ہو, یہ بھی الگ ہونا ہے. تو خانقاہی نظام میں یہی ہوتا ہے کہ آدمی الگ ہو جائے. اور رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے اس بارے میں بہت احادیث بیان فرمائی ہیں. فرماتے ہیں تم جہاد کرو, اللہ کے راستے میں جہاد اور محنت کرو, اور اگر فتنے کا زمانہ ہو تو اللہ تبارک و تعالیٰ کو وہ آدمی پسند ہے جو آدمی سب سے الگ ہو جائے اور شعفل فی شعب میں, اور دینی اعتبار سے بھی اس کو گرین سائڈ بنایا ہے اور اس کو اور ترقی دے اللہ تبارک و تعالیٰ, اور ہماری سب مساجد کو ترقی دے. تو حضرت خضر علیہ السلام کا قصہ, حضرت موسیٰ علیہ السلام نے فرمایا تھا, ان سے سوال ہوا کون اعلم الناس, سب سے بہتر سب سے بڑا عالم کون ہے؟ حضرت موسیٰ علیہ السلام نے فرمایا میں. اپنی جگہ یہ بات ٹھیک تھی لیکن جلیل القدر نبی کی شان کے مناسب نہیں تھی, اس لیے اللہ تبارک و تعالیٰ نے فرمایا میرا بندہ ہے خضر علیہ السلام, اور خضر علیہ السلام زندہ ہے یا وفات پا چکے ہیں؟ ہم تو کہتے ہیں زندہ ہونا چاہیے, اس لیے کہ ان میں فرشتوں کی اصلیت ہے, اور جب ان میں فرشتوں کا خلط ہے, فرشتہ انسانی شکل میں ہے تو فرشتے تو زندہ ہیں قیامت تک. اس لیے جنید بغدادی, سری سقطی, اور جب جن کا ذکر مولانا حیدر صاحب نے فرمایا مجدد الفسانی اور صوفیہ, سب کے سب کہتے ہیں کہ وہ زندہ ہے. اور ایک ضعیف حدیث میں آتا ہے, حدیث ضعیف ہے, اس کی سند پر کلام ہے, ہم طلبہ کو بتلاتے ہیں کہ حضرت رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کی وفات کے بعد حضرت خضر علیہ السلام تعزیت کے لیے آئے تھے, اور یہ کہا, یہ فرمایا ان فی اللہ عزاءً عزاءً من کل مصیبہ وعوضاً من کل حالک وخلفاً من کل فائت فإلى الله فأنيب. و تعالیٰ کی ذات میں ہر مصیبت کی تسلی ہے. جو مصیبت آتی ہے اللہ کی طرف سے, یا اللہ آپ نے مصیبت ڈالی آپ راحت دے دے, آپ نے مصیبت ڈالی مصیبت کو دور کر دے, آپ نے مصیبت ڈالی آپ آخرت میں ثواب اور جنت دیں گے. و عوضا من کل حالک, جو ہلاک ہوتا ہے اللہ تعالیٰ عوض دیتے ہیں, فوت ہو جائے تو اللہ تعالیٰ بہتر خلیفہ دیتے ہیں. اس لیے اللہ کی طرف رجوع کرو اور اللہ تبارک و تعالیٰ کے احکام پر چلو. محروم وہ محروم نہیں ہے کہ جس کا کسی کا انتقال ہو گیا, وہ اصل محروم وہ ہے جو ثواب سے محروم ہو جائے, ثواب سے محروم نہیں ہونا چاہیے. تو حضرت موسیٰ علیہ السلام تعلیم حاصل کرنے کے لیے, علم نور ہے, العلم نور, انا انزلنا الیک نورا مبینا, قرآن کریم نور ہے, نور کے حاصل اور علم کے حاصل کرنے کے لیے گئے. اس لیے کہ حضرت موسیٰ علیہ السلام کے پاس شریعت کا علم تھا, حضرت خضر علیہ السلام کے پاس تکوین علم تھا, تکوین کا مطلب کیا ہونے والا ہے کیا ہونے والا نہیں. اور وہ واقعات جو حضرت خضر علیہ السلام نے فرمائے اور حضرت موسیٰ علیہ السلام کو معلوم نہیں تھے, حضرت موسیٰ علیہ السلام اعتراض اشکال کرتے تھے اور حضرت خضر علیہ السلام فرماتے تھے آپ نے تو میرے ساتھ وعدہ کیا تھا, جب آپ نے الجامعۃ البحریۃ الخضریہ میں داخل لیا تھا, اے موسیٰ علیہ السلام آپ نے تو فارم کے اوپر جو لکھا ہوا تھا, جیسے مدارس میں فارم ہوتا ہے, آپ نے کہا تھا کہ میں کچھ نہیں کہوں گا. حضرت موسیٰ علیہ السلام نے فرمایا میں بھول گیا. آدمی بھول جائے تو کچھ نہیں. پھر دوسری مرتبہ جب کیا تو دوسری مرتبہ فرمایا بس ایک آخری مرتبہ شرط, اگر اس کے بعد بھی میں نے کیا تو آپ کو نکالنے کی ضرورت نہیں ہے, الجامعۃ البحریۃ الخضریۃ سے میں خود وہاں سے چلا جاؤں گا, میں خود جاؤں گا کہ بس یہ فراق ہے میرے اور آپ کے درمیان. اور حضرت خضر علیہ السلام کے ساتھ گئے اور وہ واقعات ہوئے جو سب علماء کو بھی معلوم ہے, عوام کو بھی معلوم ہے. تو حضرت خضر علیہ السلام کے پاس گئے تھے اور جہاں سے راستہ گم کر دیا آگے چلے گئے. وہاں حضرت موسیٰ علیہ السلام سو گئے. حضرت خضر علیہ السلام سوئے تھے, جاگ گئے یا پہلے سے جاگ رہے تھے, یہ خادم لوگ جاگتے رہتے ہیں بیچاری. تو انہوں نے دیکھا کہ تلی ہوئی مچھلی زندہ ہوئی اور اس نے سرنگ ٹنل بنایا اور اس کے اندر گھس گئی اور آگے چلی گئی. حضرت موسیٰ علیہ السلام جب آگے گئے تو خضر علیہ السلام سے کہا ناشتہ لائیے. معلوم ہوا ناشتے کے بغیر کام نہیں چلتا, اس لیے ابھی آپ کو انشاءاللہ تھوڑی دیر کے بعد یہ حضرات ناشتہ کھلائیں گے. اور جہاں جب وہاں سے آگے چلے تو ناشتے کی ضرورت ہوئی اور یہ فرمایا لقد لقینا من سفرنا هذا نصبا, اس سفر میں ہمیں بڑی مشقت پہنچی. بعض مفسرین نے لکھا ہے کہ حضرت موسیٰ علیہ السلام نے فرعون کا مقابلہ کیا, 10 سال بھیڑ بکریاں چرائیں اور حضرت موسیٰ علیہ السلام نے بڑی بڑی مشقتیں برداشت کی, لیکن یہ نہیں فرمایا لقد لقینا من سفرنا هذا نصبا. جب علم کی لائن میں گئے تو علم کی لائن میں کہنے لگے لقد لقینا من سفرنا هذا نصبا, اس لیے طالب علموں کو علم کی لائن میں اگر مشقت پہنچے تو ان کو یاد کرنا چاہیے حضرت موسیٰ علیہ السلام نے بھی فرمایا تھا کہ ہمیں مشقت پہنچی. بہرحال وہاں واپس آئے جہاں سے مچھلی گھس گئی تھی اور مچھلی کو علامت بتایا گیا کہ یہ مچھلی علم کی لائن کی مچھلی علم کی لائن کے لیے علامت اور نشانی ہے, اس لیے کہ مچھلی طالب علم کی طرح ہے. مچھلی جب سوتی ہے تو اس کی آنکھیں کھلی ہوتی ہیں, یعنی زیادہ نہیں سوتی. طالب علم کی بھی زیادہ نہیں سونا چاہیے, محنت میں اور کام میں لگنا چاہیے. اس زمانے میں تو بہت محنت ہے, جدید علوم ہے, قدیم علوم ہے, سب چیزوں کو حاصل کرنا چاہیے. اور مچھلی جیسے اپنا کھانا لیتی ہے جلدی پیچھے ہٹ جاتی ہے, اپنے ساتھی دوسری مچھلی کو موقع دیتی ہے. آپ دیکھ لیں جہاں مچھلیاں ہوں گی تو آپ کو یقین ہو جائے گا کہ اس طرح ہوتا ہے. طالب علم بھی اپنی دوسرے ساتھی کو موقع دے گا کھانے میں, پینے میں, دوسری آرام اور راحت میں, خود تھوڑا سا فائدہ اٹھا کر پیچھے ہٹ جائے گا, دوسرے ساتھی کو فائدہ دے گا. اور مچھلی پانی میں خوش, طالب علم علم میں خوش. مچھلی پانی سے نکل جائے تو کچھ دیر کے بعد مر جائے گی. طالب علم بھی اگر علم کی لائن سے الگ ہو گیا, علم سے کوئی تعلق نہیں, نہ پڑھنے کا تعلق ہے, نہ مطالعے کا تعلق ہے, اور نہ دیکھنے کا تعلق ہے, نہ مولوی, بعض فارغ ہوتے ہیں پھر نہ استاد سے تعلق ہے, نہ ساتھیوں سے تعلق ہوتا ہے, ایسا نہیں ہونا چاہیے. تو مچھلی میں یہ مر جاتی ہے. جو عالم بنا اس نے بالکل علم کی لائن کو ایسا سلام کر دیا کہ شکل صورت کو بھی تبدیل کر دیا, وہ بھی میت کی طرح بن گیا اور مردے کی طرح بن گیا. اور مچھلی کو آپ نے دیکھا ہوگا, جو شکاری لوگ دیکھتے ہیں کہ جب مچھلی سمندر میں, پانی میں, دریا میں تیرتی ہے تو سورج کی روشنی میں اس میں سے کرنیں نکلتی ہیں. یہ عالم بھی جب مولوی بن جائے اور باہر جاتا ہے تو اس کی منہ سے علم اور دین اور ہدایت کی کرنیں نکلیں گی. اور مچھلی میں نرمی بھی ہے اور ہڈی بھی ہے, جو اس کے اندر ہڈی ہوتی ہے وہ ہڈی سخت, اور جو اس کے اندر گوشت نرم بہترین, اور جو ماہر خواتین بنا لیتے ہیں تو پھر تو بہت مزیدار مچھلی ہوتی ہے. تو اسی طرح طالب علم اور عالم هو بي أشدّاء على الكفار رحماء بينهم. باطل کے مقابلے میں وہ کافر مراد نہیں ہے جو ان کے مسلمانوں سے اچھے تعلقات, وہ تو ذمی ہے ان کے ساتھ, تو ایسا معاملہ کرو جیسے ہم اپنے مسلمانوں کے ساتھ معاملہ کرتے ہیں. اور حدیث میں رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے فرمایا ہے من قتل معاہدا, جس نے اس غیر مسلم کو قتل کیا یا اس کو تکلیف پہنچائی جو غیر مسلم مسلمانوں کے ساتھ رہتا ہے ٹھیک ٹھاک بہتر رہتا ہے, تو لم يرح رائحة الجنة ورائحة الجنة یعنی وہی توجد من سبعین عاما. رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم فرماتے ہیں اس غیر مسلم پر جب تو ظلم کو ظلم کرتے ہو جو غیر مسلم تمہارے ساتھ رہتا ہے, تم اس کو نصیحت نہیں کرتے, اس کو قتل کرتے ہو, ظلم کرتے ہو, کہتے یہ جنت کی خوشبو نہیں سونگے گا جبکہ جنت کی خوشبو 70 سال سے سونگی جاتی ہے اور محسوس کی جاتی ہے. تو اس لیے یہ عرض کرنا تھا کہ اشدّاء علی الکفار باطل کے مقابلے میں سخت ہوگا, باطل جس کے پاس بھی ہو. تو یہ اللہ تبارک و تعالی نے مچھلی کو علامت بنایا, اور بھی مچھلی کی بہت ساری صفات ہے, اور کہاں پر ملے ان کے ساتھ ان لی عبدن بمجمع البحرین, مجمع البحرین میں ان سے ملاقات ہوئی حضرت خضر علیہ السلام سے, اور حضرت خضر علیہ السلام اور موسیٰ علیہ السلام یہ بھی دونوں بحر ہے, ایک شریعت کا سمندر ہے, دوسرے تکوینیات کا سمندر ہے, اور جہاں ملاقات ہوئی وہ بھی مجمع البحرین ہے. جب وہاں پہنچی حضرت خضر علیہ السلام کو دیکھا تو حضرت خضر علیہ السلام چادر اوڑھی ہوئے لیٹی ہوئی تھے, انہوں نے سلام کیا, انہوں نے کہا سلام والے یہاں کیسے پہنچ گئے, یہ تو سلام والوں کی جگہ نہیں ہے, آپ کون ہیں؟ میں موسیٰ ہوں. کون سی موسیٰ؟ علیہ السلام, بنی اسرائیل کے موسیٰ علیہ السلام. اس میں بتایا کہ علم شخصیت کے اندر چھپا ہوا ہوگا. دیکھو حضرت خضر علیہ السلام نے چادر اوڑی چھپی ہوئے ہیں, یہ مسئلہ ہمیں بتایا گیا کتاب پڑھنے پر اعتماد مت کرو, کتاب اہل حق کی کتابیں پڑھو, لیکن اس کے ساتھ ساتھ اصل علم حاصل کرو شخصیات سے. اس لیے اللہ تبارک و تعالی نے فرمایا اہدنا الصراط المستقیم, پھر متصل اس کے بعد فرمایا صراط الذین انعمت علیہم, اور اس کی تشریح من النبیین والصدیقین والشہداء والصالحین, ان کے بغیر نہیں ہوتا. ورنہ ایک صاحب اپنے طور پر علم حاصل کرتے تھے, بکری کو سامنے کھڑا کرتے تھے اور نماز پڑھتے تھے. رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے فرمایا ہے لاٹھی اور سترے کو اس نے اس کی جگہ عنزتن پڑھا, عنزتن کے معنی بکری ہے, بکری کو سامنے رکھتے تھے. استاد کے بغیر کیسے کام چلے گا؟ رائٹ کو آپ لکھیں گے جس نے انگلش استاد سے نہ پڑھے وہ رائٹ کو ریجیکٹ پڑے گا, اس لیے کہ اس میں تو جی درمیان میں آ جائے گا. تو یہ کہ انہوں نے علم حاصل کیا, اور حضرت رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم فرماتے ہیں اللہ تبارک و تعالی حضرت موسیٰ علیہ السلام پر رحم فرمائے, اگر وہ کچھ صبر کرتے تو اور عجیب عجیب معلومات اللہ تبارک و تعالی ہمیں سناتے, اور کوئی کہ سبق کا سلسلہ لمبا ہوتا. وہ تیسری چیز جو آخری چیز ہے, بس میں 2-3 منٹ میں ختم کرتا ہوں, وہ دعوت التبلیغ. دعوت التبلیغ حضرت ذوالقرنین. ذوالقرنین کون تھا, کس زمانے میں تھا, کیوں ذوالقرنین کہتے ہیں, وہ الگ باتیں ہیں. ذوالقرنین بادشاہ بھی ہے, داعی بھی ہے. جب بادشاہ انتہائی مشغول آدمی ہوتا ہے, ان سے ٹائم لیں گے تو آپ کو 2 مہینے کے بعد ٹائم ملے گا, وہ بھی ہر ایک کو نہیں ملتا, اتنا مشغول ہوتا ہے بادشاہ, لیکن مشغولی کے باوجود اس کے لیے بھی دعوت معاف نہیں ہے, وہ بھی داعی ہے. فاما من آمن وعمل صالحا فله جزاء الحسنى. حضرت ذوالقرنین نے جو اسفار کیے وہ آپ کو معلوم ہے, مغرب والا سفر کیا, مشرق والا سفر کیا. مشرق میں غالباً جو خط استوا کو ہم لے لیں, جہاں خط استوا بالکل برابری پر ہے, درمیان میں ہے, تو اس میں آخری حصہ کیروباتی ہے, ممکن ہے وہاں گئے ہوں. کہاں گئے؟ کیروباتی. مغرب میں جب وہاں سے 12 گھنٹے کا فاصلہ ہم فرض کریں, 12 گھنٹے, تو سینٹرل افریقہ آ جائے گا, وہاں پہنچے, مشرق میں پہنچے, اور جہاں پہنچے وہاں خدمت بھی کی, لوگوں کو ظلم سے بھی بچایا, جیسے یاجوج ماجوج کے ظلم سے لوگوں کو بچایا, جس کی بہت تفصیلات ہیں, وقت نہیں ہے. اور جہاں پہنچے تو فرمایا وَأَمَّا مَنْ آمَنَ وَأَمَّا مَنْ آمَنَ فِي نَتِيجَةِ الدَّعْوَةِ, جس نے ایمان قبول کیا دعوت کے نتیجے میں, وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا لِأَجْلِ الْإِيمَانِ وَلِأَجْلِ الدَّعْوَةِ, اور ایمان عمل, اچھا عمل ایمان کا بھی تقاضا ہے اور دعوت کا بھی تقاضا ہے. تو فرمایا فَلَهُ ال... اس کی جَزَاءً الْحُسْنَى, تو فَلَهُ الْجَنَّةُ الْحُسْنَى, اس کے لیے بہترین جنت ہے ایسے حال میں کہ اس کا بدلہ ہوگا. تو ماشاء اللہ آپ حضرات ان تین کاموں کو جمع کرنے کے لیے آئے ہیں. اللہ تبارک و تعالی قبول فرما دے آپ کے اور ہمارے آنے کو. ان حضرات کو اللہ تبارک و تعالی جزائے خیر عطا فرما دے. ابھی مختصر ذکر ہوگا ان شاء اللہ تعالی. وصلی اللہ علی محمد و آلہ و اصحابہ اجمعین. حملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به, واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا, أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. اللهم إنا نسألك العفو والعافية والمعافاة الدائمة في الدين والدنيا والآخرة. اللهم إنا نسألك من الخير كله عاجله وآجله ما علمنا منه وما لم نعلم, ونعوذ بك من الشر كله عاجله وآجله ما علمنا منه وما لم نعلم. اے رب کریم, ہمارے اس مل بیٹھنے کو آنے کو قبول فرما دے, شرور اور فتنوں سے سب کی حفاظت فرما دے, طاعت کی محبت اور گناہوں کی نفرت ہمارے دلوں میں ڈال دے, شیطان اور نفس کی لائن سے ہم سب کی حفاظت فرما دے. جو ہمارے درمیان یا ہمارے متعلقین دوست و احباب میں بیمار ہیں ان سب کو شفاء کامل عطا فرما دے. جو وفات پا چکے ہیں اے رب کریم سب کی مغفرت فرما دے. اس محلے میں ہمارے مدرسے کے فاروق التحصیل کے والد صاحب کو پچھلے دنوں شہید کیا گیا, اللہ تبارک و تعالی ان کی شہادت کو قبول فرمائے, ان کے درجات بلند فرما دے. اور بھی جتنے مغفورین مرحومین ہیں اللہ تبارک و تعالی سب کے درجات بلند فرما دے اور سب کو کی مغفرت فرما دے. اے رب کریم ہمیں اپنے عیوب کو دیکھنے کی توفیق عطا فرما دے, دوسری کے عیوب سے ہمیں اندھا کر دے. اے رب کریم سب کے رزق حلال میں برکت عطا فرما دے, حرام سود کی نحوست سے سب کی حفاظت فرما دے, شرور اور فتنوں سے سب کی حفاظت فرما دے, ایمان کامل کی دولت کسی سب کو نواز دے. اے رب کریم ہدایت اور دعوت کی نور کو پوری دنیا میں پھیلا دے, اور پوری دنیا کے مسلمانوں کو اور پوری دنیا کی مخلوق کو اس سے فائدہ اٹھانے کی توفیق نصیب فرما دے. آنے والے اجتماع کو بے حد قبول فرما دے, کامیاب بنا دے, اس کی روشنی کو اطراف پہ پوری دنیا میں پھیلا دے, زیادہ سے زیادہ جماعتوں کے نکالنے اور نکلنے کی توفیق عطا فرما دے, اتفاق اور اتحاد اپنے فضل و کرم سے پیدا فرما دے. ریاکاری سے اور دکھاوے سے سب کی حفاظت فرما دے. اچھے اخلاق اچھی عادات ہمارے اندر پیدا فرما دے. پوری عادتوں سے پوری خصلتوں سے ہم سب کی حفاظت فرما دے. اس ملک میں جو دینی آزادی ہے اس کو قائم اور دائم فرما دے. جو مشکلات ہیں تکلیفیں ہیں خرابیاں ہیں اپنے فضل و کرم سے ان کو دور فرما دے اور بے حد کامیابی عطا فرما دے. یہاں کے مسلمانوں کو پوری دنیا میں جہاں جہاں مسلمان رہتے ہیں ان سب کی جان مال عزت ایمان آبرو دین اولاد کی حفاظت فرما دے. بڑوں کو چھوٹوں پر شفقت اور چھوٹوں کو بڑوں کا ادب نصیب فرما دے. جن جن گھروں میں خرفشار ہے اس میں اتفاق و اتحاد جوڑ پیدا فرما دے. ہر قسم کی خرابیوں کو اختلافات کو اپنے فضل سے ختم فرما دے. اس محلے میں خصوصاً اور ہر جگہ خواتین اور مستورات اور بچوں پر رحم فرما دے. ان کو دین کے لیے استعمال فرما دے. کامیابی عطا فرما دے. ہم سب کی حاجات کو اپنے فضل و کرم سے ان کی حاجات کو اپنے فضل و کرم سے پورا فرما دے. دین کی خدمت کے لیے بوڑھوں کو بڑوں کو چھوٹوں کو بچوں کو خواتین کو مستورات کو بچیوں کو سب کو دین کے کام اور خدمت کے لیے قبول فرما دے. رزق حلال میں برکات سے سب کو نواز دے. کثرت استغفار کثرت درود شریف کثرت تلاوت کثرت ذکر موت کثرت استغفار اور کی توفیق نصیب فرما دے. کثرت تلاوت کی توفیق نصیب فرما دے. تأمل تدبر کے ساتھ تفقہ فی الدین سب کو نصیب فرما دے. ہے رب کریم پوری دنیا میں آل حق کی دین مدارس کی مساجد مکاتب معابد خانقاہیں تبلیغ جماعت کی چلک پھرت سب کی حفاظت فرما دے. اچھے کام کرنے والے میسر فرما دے. آسانیاں پیدا فرما دے. ہے رب کریم زیادہ سے زیادہ دین محنت کی توفیق سب کو عطا فرما دے. اس مل بیٹھنے کو قبول فرما دے. جنہوں نے اس میں حصہ لیا ہے محنت کر رہے ہیں خدمت کر رہے ہیں اللہ تبارک و تعالیٰ ان کی خدمات کو قبول فرما دے. ہمارے دوست و احباب جنہوں نے دعاؤں کے لیے کہا ہے یا لکھا ہے یا چاہتے ہیں یا ان کا ہم پر حق ہے ان سب کے لیے ہر خیر کا فیصلہ فرما دے. ہر شر سے سب کی حفاظت فرما دے. ایمان کامل کو دولت سے سب کو نواز دے. صلی اللہ علی محمد و آلہ و اصحابہ اجمعین برحمتک یا ارحم الراحمین. Thank you.